will be sharing with you more about him, who he is later after his sermon, okay? Because we're going to do a book launch today, right? But without further ado, I want you to give him the warmest welcome.
Good morning, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus. Let us turn to Luke chapter 15, and we will read from verse 11 to 24. This is probably very familiar to most of us, but let us read it again this morning and allow the Spirit of God to reveal to us the wonderful truths that are found in this passage. These are the words of our Lord Jesus. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your higher servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Let's pray again. O Lord, what a wonderful thing it is that this morning we can be together as your people. And how beautiful is it that we can open your word and read from your word and know that you have a message for us even today. And oh Holy Spirit, we want to submit ourselves to you for your teaching, for your revelation that you can give to our minds and our hearts so that we will be able to live as you would desire us to live. We continue to commit the rest of the time that we have together unto you for your leading and for your guidance. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The parable of the prodigal son is the last story of three stories that Jesus told in response to a statement by the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And this statement was found in verse 2 that say, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Now, this may sound not very fantastic, or there may not be much to that. But this is a very important statement because the religious leaders have been watching Jesus, and they saw him welcoming and eating with tax collectors and sinners. And so they were wondering, what kind of man is this? He is a teacher. And he is a learned man, a good man. Why is it that he is welcoming these people who are tax collectors and sinners that everybody look down? Perhaps the question that may be in our mind, what is actually a better way to put it? We can say it like this. Why is it that a good man will associate with bad people? Now, I don't know whether we regard ourselves as good people, and who are bad people that could be in our midst. Perhaps when we were growing up, our parents have been teaching us and telling us, don't have anything to do with this kind of people. Don't mix with them. Don't associate with them. Maybe that is a good teaching, because especially when we are young, when we mix with the wrong company, we may be influenced by them. But when we are grown up, would we still continue not to mix with certain people, not to associate with certain people that we consider are bad people, are sinners? Now, who could be such people? Maybe these people are gangsters. Maybe these people are from another group that people in generally feel that they are manipulative. They take advantage of you. They may steal from you. So have nothing to do with them. And I wonder whether it is possible that some of us, perhaps in the church this morning, are looking at a certain people who is in our church today, and we say to ourselves, this is a bad person. I don't want to have anything to do with him. He always seems to be so proud, and he always seems to be trying to take advantage of you, and he always seems to be such a negative person. This is a bad person. Have nothing to do with him. Is that possible? This seems to be a normal kind of attitude, that if you are a good person, why would you associate with bad people? And so Jesus told three stories to bring in a very important point. The first story is about a shepherd who was looking for one lost sheep. And why was it that this shepherd will look and search for this one lost sheep? And when he found it, he was so happy. The reason is because this sheep is of value and is precious to the shepherd. And the next story is about a woman who lost a coin, and he looked all over for the coin. And the woman was looking for this coin was because this coin is precious and of value to the woman. And the prodigal son story is the last story. And Jesus told three stories to promote the same message. And this story is the longest. And in this story, there was a son who was very bad. And the father still welcomed and gave his love for this son. And the reason is because to a father, a son is precious. And a son is of value. No matter what kind of behavior the son may be having, or what kind of son or daughter this person will be, the father will always consider his son as a true son and is valuable if he is a good father. Our God is our Heavenly Father. And we sinners are his sons and daughters. God is our Father in heaven. And we who are sinners are still his sons and his daughters. To a lot of people, the image of God is that of a being that is very scary. To many people, the image of God in the mind is a very demanding being. And it is a being that you try not to step on his toes. And it's a being that, if possible, you try not to be too involved with him. Because he is scary, and he is demanding, and he is scary. So to have an image of God as a father is something very, very beautiful. Dear friends, what is your image of God today? Is God your father? Truly a father? A father you can come any moment unto his embrace? A father that you can look up to him and you see him smiling at you? And a father that you can come and you feel his gentle and loving touch upon your being and upon your life? Do you have an image of God as a father? Jesus came to the world to show us that God is a father to us. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. And this morning, when we took the Lord's Supper, we remember the coming of the Son, Jesus, to be born into this world. And this is our Christmas story, to save us from the sins, because this is the love of God in sending the Son to us. And one of the main reasons for Jesus coming to show us the love of God is also to show us that God is a Father. And in this verse, in John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus said, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Now, some people say that when they see my son, they see me. Now, this is just the image. But Jesus meant much, much more than that. What Jesus was saying, you saw my attitude towards you. My love for you, how I was gentle towards you, how I care for you, how I'm willing even to die for you. Actually, when you see me, you see the Father. And this is to show you that the Father really loves you. And when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught them to pray to God in this way. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus said, "This is how you should pray." And you pray by saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, to the Jewish people, some of them will be even be scared to pronounce the name of God. In fact, most of them will be scared to pronounce the name of God. And to be able to come to God and say, "God, Father," is something very, very serious to them. And Jesus came and said, when you pray to God, you can just come to him with confidence and say, "Father, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." This is an amazing revelation. And so Jesus taught us that God is our Father. And when Jesus said, "When I leave the world, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit unto you, and he will be your teacher, and he will be your helper." And one of the wonderful things that the Holy Spirit is helping us and teaching us is to be able to call God Abba Father. And it is by the power and it is by the enabling of the Holy Spirit inside us that we actually can use these words that come out from our mouth and from our hearts and say to God, "Abba, Father, Heavenly Father." Therefore, to be able to say to God, "Father, Heavenly Father, Abba, Father," is a very, very amazing thing. Friends, have you been able to address God as Father? I know of people who find it very difficult to call God as Father. Because we do have a serious problem. Because many, many of us have fathers that are not good. fathers that do not understand us, father who are distant to us, they are never present in our lives, and father who may not care much about us. And some of us may even have fathers that are abusive, and we have been deeply hurt by our father. And so when we say the word father, it is something that is very difficult for you to accept, that an image of a father is anything good and a father is bad to you. Now, do you have a good father? And are you a good father? To a lot of people, our fathers are not that good. For my wife and I, we do have fathers that we consider as good in the sense that they work very hard to provide for us, to provide for our brothers and our sisters. When my wife was growing up, the father worked very hard, and the father was hardly at home. And when the father was at home, my wife will feel very far away from him because she will not have much relationship with him. And my wife was dying and longing for the father who will look at her and say, "Daughter, I love you, or you're special to me, you are of value to me. Or daughter, you did well in what you did just now." She was longing for such words of love and affirmation. And it was only when the father was about to die that she had the opportunity one day to bring the father to see the doctor, and she was able to give her hand to the father. The father took hold of her hand, and together they were able to go to see the doctor. To you, you may say, this is nothing, but to my wife, this is something that she will remember for the rest of her life because she felt close to the father at that time. And therefore, she grew up with this great longing and desire for the smile of the father upon her, for the touch of the father upon her, for the love of the father upon her. And my father had been a good father also in the sense that he provided for me. But even when I was an adult, I discovered that I was having deep anger towards my father. The reason is because my father just make his demands and I can say nothing. And he will say that I need to do this or I'll be do that. And he do not understand where I am and where I am coming from. And I have no way to talk back to him. And I felt that I was deeply misunderstood and I could not meet up to his standards. And I was very angry towards him. So even for my wife and I, when we talk about father, it may be a bit difficult for us to understand that a father can really be that wonderful, can really be that good, and can really be that loving. But God is truly a loving father and a good father from the very beginning. And when he created the human race, fatherhood and motherhood is actually his idea. And his idea of a father is that a father is a loving person, is a caring person, is a good person to the children. And probably some of you do have good fathers. I thought I was a good father. And my son actually said that I am an awesome father. This is his words. But when I look at my son, who is now a father, to a child, to a girl who is about 2 years and 5 months old, and he will be the father again of another child that is going to come somewhere early next year, I felt that he was so much a better father than me. And I can see that he is truly a really good and loving father. When my granddaughter was born, my daughter-in-law had 4 months of maternity leave. And after the 4 months, he took another 4 months of unpaid leave. So She spent 8 months taking care of the young daughter. And when it was time for her to go back to work, to my utter surprise, my son resigned from his job and became a full-time father. And he cooked for the daughter. He bathed the daughter. He got the daughter to sleep. And sometimes she would be holding the daughter sleeping. And then when the daughter went to sleep, she wanted the daughter to sleep 1 hour, 2 hours. And she did, and he would not dare to move his hand. And after some time, he would say his arm is numb. But he would still not move his arm. And he spent time teaching the daughter to sing, teaching the daughter to dance, teaching the daughter to draw. And my granddaughter, with such a loving father and a loving mother, is now growing up to be a very secure girl, a very happy girl, and a very skillful girl in many ways of a girl of her age. My son is really a good father, a loving father. And I hope that some of us are able to have fathers who are that good. And it is God who is helping my son to be a good father. And it is God's idea that a father is a good person, a loving person, and a caring person. And we will be blessed when we now turn our attention to God again and see how God was a father to Israel. In Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, and then verse 3 and verse 4, these are some verses in the Bible that are truly, truly amazing. Because God considered himself as a father to Israel. And how was he a father? He said, "When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. It was I who taught Ephraim," Ephraim is one of the tribes of Israel, "to walk, taking them by the arms. But they did not realize that it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them, I was like one who lifts a child to the cheek and bends down to feed him." Have you ever discovered these verses in the Bible? And especially in the Old Testament, some of you may be thinking that the God in the Old Testament is a very, very fierce God. And indeed, God is a God of justice. But God has all the while been a father. And he said, you look at these words that I have in yellow. These are all verbs, action verbs. God said, when Israel was a child, I love him like a father. I really love you in spite of who you are. And out of Egypt, I call you. I am the one who called you from your slavery. I call you. My voice came to you. And it was I who taught you to walk. When you did not know a lot of things, I helped you. I taught you to walk. And taking you by the arms. And even though you do not realize it, I was the one who healed you. I took care of you. I was there for you all this while. And I led them with cords of human kindness and with ties of love. And to them, I was like one who lifts a child to the cheek. Now, I'm always filled with wonder when I see a father lifting up a child to the cheek. It is a very nice image that a father will do something to this young child, lifting up and put her to the cheek to kiss her or to kiss him. And I bend down to feed them. So God said, I was like a father, I bend down. I'm God, but I bend down to feed you. Isn't this a wonderful, wonderful image of how God was a father to Israel. And in this verse, in Deuteronomy, these two verses in Deuteronomy, it says, the Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as I did for you in Egypt. I have been with you in Egypt, but now, before your very eyes and in the wilderness, I have been fighting for you. And then you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. So God again is reminding his people, I was like a father to you. Do you know that all this while in Egypt and out of Egypt in the wilderness and now coming into the promised land, I was there. I was always with you. I was for you. I was for you. I carried you. And I am the one who is leading you all this while. And in this verse, Exodus chapter 19, verse 4, God said to the people of Israel, he said, you yourself have seen what I did to Egypt, how I delivered you from Egypt, from Pharaoh, and what I did to them, because I was for you, I was with you, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. I really like this verse. God said, I carry you on eagle wings and I brought you to myself. I love to watch eagles. And I'm living in Tanjung Bunga, and every day, almost every day, I see eagles. And every time my wife saw an eagle, an eagle, right? Because we love to see the eagles, and there are plenty of eagles. And all these years watching the eagle, there was only one time that I saw something like this. One day, I saw an eagle. I do not know whether it's a mother eagle or father eagle. For today, I'll just say father eagle, right? So I saw this father eagle up in the sky, and this eagle was carrying on his wings two small eagles. Not one, but two small eagles. I never seen this, and I haven't seen it before, but I saw it once. It fly up high to the sky, and then suddenly, this eagle, like that. And the two little eagles were dropping down, and they must be wondering, what is father up to? Why is he doing that to us? And we are going to die. But before the two little eagles reached the ground, actually, not even near the ground, it was quite far away in the sky, suddenly this father eagle came and carried them up again on his wings. And the two little eaglets would say, oh, we should not have doubted father. He has always been there for us. Wow, how nice is it to be carried by father and up, up, up in the sky again. And then it happened again. And the eagles were falling down again and said, what happened, father, father? But the father again scooped them up and carried them up again. And now I think they realize, oh, father is actually teaching us how to fly. And so they go up and up, and the eaglets probably say, father, now drop us! And drop, and they flap. And I do not know how many times it happened. Eventually, these two little eaglets, I didn't see them fly, but eventually, maybe the next day or the next 2 days, they must be flying. And when they fly and they soar in the sky, they say, father, thank you so much. You are so nice. You have been there for us. You protected us. You carry us. You love us. And now we can fly. Isn't it wonderful to know that God is like an eagle that carries us on his wings, on his strong wings, and on his loving wings, and he is there for us all the time. Now let's go back to the story of the prodigal son. The story of the prodigal son gives a very, very important teaching. And the teaching is that we are of value to the father because we are his sons and we are his daughters. No matter who we are, no matter what we have done, no matter how bad we are, just because we are His sons and daughters and He is a Father to us, He will always love us and He will always be there for us. I don't know whether how deeply we have comprehended this message. This story is actually a shocking story. And for the people who listen to Jesus telling this story, they must be astounded. Would there be anybody in the world who can be such a father? Because this son, this prodigal son, this younger son, was really a bad son. Because especially in those days, when you ask for your inheritance before the father died, you are a very, very bad son. And people will imagine that when a son asks for the father before he died for his inheritance, the father would just slap him and maybe kick him out of the house. But this father was very special. He gave his inheritance to the son. And probably other people were thinking, what kind of father you are? Your son did this to you and you still give him the inheritance. And worst of all, this son wasted all the inheritance in wild living. And this must have bring a lot of shame to this father that this is a son that is so bad, so terrible. Give him everything and he just wasted in wild living. And this son was very hungry, so much so that he was willing to go and look after pigs. Pigs are dirty to the Jews. And he even ate what the pigs were eating. He came to such a stage in his life where he was so despicable. And finally the son said, what am I doing here? The servants in my father's household, they are much better off than I. Perhaps I can go back to my father and ask for his forgiveness, and hopefully he will forgive me. And so he went home. And maybe on the journey, some of the friends saw him, and then they say, huh, this rascal, it seems that he is going home. Well, what the father is going to do, he will surely receive a beating. And he was so smelly because he has been with the pigs. And they tried to avoid him. And to their surprise, while he was far from home, the father saw him and the father ran to him. And in those days, with the clothing that they wear, the father probably had to lift up his cloak and ran for the son. And this is not a very decent thing to do. And people will be so surprised. Whoa, what is happening? How can this be happening? And then they were even more amazed because this father, when he came to the son, he hugged him, embraced him, put his arms around him, this smelly, terrible rascal, and he kissed him. They may feel like fainting. What was happening? And then the father said to the servants, quickly, quickly, bring the best robe and put it on him. Give him a ring to the finger and put sandals on his feet. And then the fatted calf that we have been having, slaughter it and let us have a feast tonight. Let us celebrate because my son was lost and now he was found. The listeners will be thinking, this is unbelievable. Why would this man want to do something like this? Jesus wanted us to understand that our Heavenly Father is really, really a good Father without condition. In spite of who we are, in spite of what we are, the love of the Father is deep and is strong. Do we know God in this way? Do we know that our God is such an amazing father, the best father, and he is the example that we should be following? But most important of all, we need to know God as our Father. We need to have the confidence to come to him, to his embrace, and feel his arms around us, and under us, and above us, and before us. We need to be able to look to God as a Father and see that He is smiling upon us. And we need to experience the touch of God upon our lives, and that His touch is gentle, and that His touch is loving. And when we are able, by the Holy Spirit, to understand that God is such an Abba Father, and to be able to experience Him as a Father, that we will truly be able to find the real life and the true life of a son and a daughter of the mighty, mighty God. Our God is the creator of everything. Our God is the most powerful being in the world and in the universe. And He looks at us with longing, and He welcomes us into His presence as His sons and as His daughters, in spite of who we are and what we are. Of course, our Father is a righteous Father, and He desires that we walk righteously. And if we sin, we hurt Him, and He will discipline us, but He disciplines us out of love. My son is a good father, and as a good father, he makes sure that my granddaughter knows her boundaries. And sometimes my granddaughter will test the boundaries, and the father will always make sure that this is the boundary and it is always there. And she will discipline the daughter. And amazingly, every time I hear my son speaking to daughter in a more firmer and louder voice, almost immediately he will say, in a more gentle voice, "Daughter, do you know why father just now talked to you like that?" And he will assure her again that the father is still gentle and the father is still loving. Our God as Father, He will discipline us once in a while because we are still very sinful. Now this morning, Lan Fun was encouraging us to give all of our hearts to God. And I feel Lan Fun is such a wonderful daughter of God. And I look at myself and I find that many times in my heart, I'm not fully given to the Lord. I'm a sinner. But as I look to my Father in heaven and discover that His favor is still upon me, and as I will confess my sins, He is there to forgive me, I can come back again to His embrace and to feel His gentle touch upon my life. And I just appreciate so much that I can know my God as Abba Father. My friend, no matter what experience you may have with your earthly father, may you, by the power of God's Spirit, be able to have the understanding today of the real concept of a true father and a good father, and that you be able to come to God, to His embrace, to His smile, and to His touch. Let us now stand. Let us all stand. Let us all at this moment just close our eyes and right now come to the arms of the Father and feel His embrace. And let us be aware right now that as we look at the face of the Father, we can see His smile. Because He is telling us that we are precious to Him. And even now, let us experience His touch upon our lives And this touch from our Father is gentle and is loving. Dear God, our Father, it is actually beyond our human understanding why you are so good to us as a true and loving Father. But we are very grateful to you that by your Spirit we are able to call upon you as Abba Father. What a great privilege is it, O God? And how wonderful it is that we can live daily as your son and as your daughter. And O God, I pray for those among us who had bad experiences with their earthly fathers. Lord God, may you deliver us from our hurts, from our pains, and help us to have the correct understanding and knowledge of what is a true father and a loving father. And I pray, O God, that you will enable every one of us here this morning to truly be able to come to you as a son and as a daughter. O Lord, help us. Thank you again, Lord, for your love, for your gentleness, for your goodness, and for your grace upon our lives. We give thanks, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.